When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of New Books in Japanese Studies on the New Books Network. I am Jeannie Lee. Today we welcome back Dr. Olga Solovieva, a scholar of comparative literature. Her new book, The Russian Kurosawa, Transnational Cinema, or The Art of Speaking Differently, was published earlier this year through Oxford University Press. This book discusses the work of the famous Japanese director, Akira Kurosawa, in the context of Japan-Russia intellectual connections. Welcome back, Dr. Solovieva. Thank you so much for joining us today again.
Thank you for having me, Jenny.
Thank you. Can you tell us a bit about yourself? I know you've been on this channel before already, but for our new listeners, what do you teach and research about?
I'm a scholar of Russian literature, and I'm interested in the question of how Russian literature is received in the East and West. And at the moment, I'm affiliated with the Center of Excellence at the University of Nicolaus Copernicus University in Toruń, Poland.
So, and what do you currently research and teach about?
Yeah, I continue working on Russian-Japanese intellectual relations, and at the moment I'm working with a group of scholars from different disciplines again on a volume of contributions about Japanese-Russian intellectual triangulations. If in the book Japan's Russia, we talk about what happens between two cultures when they come into contact, specifically Japan and Russia. In the next volume, we're taking this encounter further and we make it more challenging. And we're investigating what happens when three cultures come in contact. Yeah, the tentative title is Life Intertext. Life Intertexts, Japanese-Russian Transnational Encounters and Intellectual Triangulations.
That's exciting. And you have been with us before to discuss your previous book, the one you just briefly mentioned, Japan's Russia. And this book, the Russian Kurosawa, has quite a lot of connection with the earlier book. So how did your research project develop and how did this book extend from your previous discussion in Japan's Russia?
Yeah, in fact, the previous book, Japan's Russia, contained a chapter about Akira Kurosawa's film, No Regrets for Our Youth. And this chapter was a shortened version of a longer introductory chapter in the book about the Russian Kurosawa. So the books are directly related. But if in Japan's Russia, we were talking about larger intellectual tradition which emerged from the Russo-Japanese encounter in the late 19th century or early Meiji period. In my book, The Russian Kurosawa, I zoom in onto a particular case. Yeah, the Russian Kurosawa is a particular case of this tradition. And I argue that Kurosawa and the phenomenon of his cinema emerges from this intellectual Russo-Japanese tradition, which we discussed in detail in the Russian Kurosawa. Yeah, there's two projects are directly interconnected. But I can say that the Russian Kurosawa is a particular case, and this book goes into details explaining why and how.
Thank you. Personally, I have not been able to finish all of Kurosawa's films. I know a lot of them are available on HBO right now. But for our listeners who may not be familiar, who is Kurosawa Akira, and more importantly, how was he related to Russia?
Yeah, Akira Kurosawa is one of the most famous Japanese film directors who lived between 1910 and 1998. And in fact, it's difficult to know all his films. He made 31 films, but only four of these 31 films are based directly on Russian sources. And my book discusses these four films. It is The Idiot, Hakuchi of 1951, Ikiro of 1952, The Lower Depths, Donzoko of 1958, and Dersuzala of 1975. One of his films, Red Beard, Akahige of 1965, is an adaptation of a Japanese novel, but it includes one episode borrowed directly from Dostoevsky. However, my book argues that these films are crucial to understanding Kurosawa's overall philosophy, his overall ideological orientation and understanding of the world, which as a whole grows out of them. This tradition of Russian-Japanese intellectual exchange, which was a democratic tradition of thought and politically was a form of grassroots democracy. Yeah, his relation to Russia is actually was mediated through the 19th century Russian literature, which was deeply rooted in the Russian critical political thought.
Now that you mentioned, what was the historical context that allowed Kurosawa to have borrowed these inspirations from Russians' political and intellectual thoughts of the time?
Kurosawa started making his films during the wartime. And most of his cinema, as we know it well, and his most famous films were created in a post-war period, immediate post-war period, and he was active until his death in 1998. So he's a post-war intellectual, but he understands his thinking and his ideology or his philosophy, his understanding of the world is deeply rooted in the pre-war period, when he was growing up and when he was absorbing precisely that Russian-Japanese intellectual democratic liberal culture, which was enormously influential, popular in Japan in the pre-war period, and then was suppressed and eradicated in the 1930s. And my book claims that the project of his life was to reconstruct for the post-war period, the democratic culture of pre-war Japan, of democratic culture of the Showa democracy and of the late Meiji period when he was, born and growing up, and which was a very liberal period in Japan. And this, liberal movements in education and arts and pedagogy in politics were very closely interconnected, as the historians have shown, with the reception of the Russian, democratic and anarchist thought of Tolstoy, Kropotkin, and 19th century Russian thinkers. So this was the period. Yeah, it is post-war thinker who tries to bring the pre-war into the post-war, renew it, revive it, kind of re-engage it anew. Terms after the experience of the catastrophic Asia-Pacific War. in militarism. Yeah, he kind of tries to use this pre-war culture as a way of rethinking this experience of militarism and reinvent Japan on the new old terms, so to say, yeah.
I guess we can take a closer look from the authors in his works, the works of Kurosawa, that to discuss. So who are some of the Russian authors that inspired him? And in Kurosawa's adaptation of these Russian works, how did he add his own touch and characteristics?
Of course, one of the major authors, most important authors for Kurosawa was Dostoevsky. Fyodor Dostoevsky, he always said this throughout his life. And his first film, which is based on a Russian source completely, is Dostoevsky's. Is his adaptation of Dostoevsky's Idiot, Hakuchi. And what Kurosawa adds is recontextualization of Dostoevsky's content in the post-war period of recovery. And through Dostoevsky, he raises a topic of the war trauma and topic of the war crimes, and in this case, particularly of the war crimes within the Japanese army. And what is interesting, that Dostoevsky is a 19th century author who, you know, of the basically noble middle class background, who experienced a near death experience, who had a near death experience of a mock execution for his revolutionary activity. And this traumatic experience of facing or expecting a near execution. He was already standing and waiting to be executed in a row of convicts. And he was arrested for his revolutionary activity. So he was waited to be executed, and then this execution was exchanged for an exile in Siberia, for a hard labor camp in Siberia. But this experience was unique for a person of Dostoevsky's social background in the 19th century. And he created the whole body of work, of philosophical work, based on experience of near death. And many people in the first half of the 20th century couldn't relate to it, or especially in the 19th century. It was a very strange work, which dealt with something people of his milieu couldn't understand or relate to. However, after the Second World War, when civilians were bombed, where the whole cities were destroyed, where basically almost every person in Asia and in Europe knew what it means, you know, to be executed and were faced with death for many years on almost daily basis, Dostoevsky all of a sudden acquired new relevance. Everybody could relate to this Dostoevsky traumatic narratives and trauma-inspired or influenced philosophy. And Kurosawa used Dostoevsky, specifically The Idiot, where he discusses this experience of near death and mock execution this kind of autobiographical experience. He uses this material to deal with the experience of the Japanese war veterans, and of experience of Japanese who come back from prisoners of war camps and try to reintegrate themselves into Japanese society. Yeah, he takes this 19th century material and he sees its relevance, new relevance for the post-war period, and he uses it to indirectly address the war experience, war crimes, war trauma, and war guilt. So another one is Tolstoy. another very important author, and in Ikiru, Kurosawa adapts not just Tolstoy's short novel, The Death of Ivan Ilyich, but the whole meta-text of the late Tolstoy's work, from Death of Ivan Ilyich to What is Art and to the Meaning of the Russian Revolution. Again, Kurosawa contextualizes Tolstoy's understanding of the meaning of life as the life for others in the context of post-war recovery and mourning. Yeah, via Tolstoy, Kurosawa polemicizes with the literature of the flesh, Nikutaya Bungako. Yeah, I show in the chapter how his film and parts of it constitutes a polemic with this literary movement, which was introduced by the writer Tamura Tajiro in 1947, in the wake of his reception of Jean-Paul Sartre's short story Intimacy. The Japanese literature scholar Doug Slaymaker wrote about it in an interesting way, and I reread the film Ikiru as bringing Tolstoy into a new dialogue with this new movement of the literature flash. Another important author is Gorky, and via Gorky's drama Lower Depths, Kurosawa participates in a post-war debate on beggar photography called Jiki Shashin. Again, the historian of post-war Japan, Julia Thomas, has shown how this debate formed the consciousness of the photographers of the post-war period or post-occupation period. Because this debate happened in 1953, and Kurosawa makes a film, The Lower Depths, which is a form of engaging with this Japanese debate. Yeah, after the occupation the Japanese cultural establishment, led by the famous photographer Damon Ken, tried to introduce a form of censorship on representing the war misery, and censorship on representing especially the beggars. What Kurosawa does in response, he creates a film which is completely dedicated to representation of beggars from the beginning to the end. And he takes this material from Gorky, because Gorky's play, The Lower Death, takes place in the night asylum for very poor people, for the beggars. So Kurosawa kind of adapts a classic of Russian theater, which became a classic of Japanese theater, but he turns it into a polemical device of representing something which the cultural establishment of his time didn't want to be represented. Yeah, so the Gorky has plays here two roles, I show. On the one hand, he allows Kurosawa to break this taboo of the cultural establishment. On another hand, it functions like a screen or like an excuse, saying, okay, I'm just adapting a classic of Russian literature. Yeah, so it is kind of an intelligent way of dealing with this debate, but also protecting himself from accusations that he broke this taboo, he depicted beggars. Yeah, and of course he depicts these beggars so that he uses the post-war photography to add exactly in the formats which Domon Ken didn't want to be used in the public art. And the last author about which I'm talking in the book, which was very important for Kurosawa, is Vladimir Arsenyev, the Russian ethnographer, who was active in Siberia. Through Arsenyev, Kurosawa addresses the memory of colonization of Northeast Asia, but also the memory of the Siberian internment of the Japanese army. Kurosawa's film, Der Suozala, was shot in Siberia in 1973-75. And again, I show how Kurosawa takes Arsenyev's work, which was written at the beginning of the 20th century, but he brings it into dialogue and contextualizes it with the Japanese culture and Japanese experience, Japanese concerns of 1970s. And what was happening in 1970s, which is especially triggered Kurosawa's interest, was the work of the painter Kazuko Yasuo, who painted his famous Siberia series. So I interpret Kurosawa's film, The Suozala, as a response, among other things, as a response to Kazuko Yasuo's work. Kazuki was a corporal in the Kwantung Army and spent 18 months imprisoned in the Gulag. Kazuki had been working through his Siberian internment and guilt of the war by painting the tableau of Siberian landscapes in the style of Emakimono, yeah, the traditional Japanese narrative scroll paintings. And if you look at Kurosawa's film Der Suozala, it really very much reminds one of such tableaus, yeah, such scroll paintings. And the film can be considered such cinematic version of Emakimono. Yeah, and also in 1970, 2 years before Kurosawa got invitation to shoot in Siberia, Kazuki published his memoir, Watashi no Siberia, Shiberia, The Siberia Within Me. So when Kurosawa went to Siberia to shoot the Suozala, his film was arriving in Japan in the context of very vivid reception of the Kazuki's memoirs and memoirs of other veterans of the Kwantung's army and of the Kazuki's paintings. Yeah, so I just wanted to show how Kurosawa takes this old 19th century, early 20th century material, but he always reworks it and makes it into a medium of a dialogue with the debates and with the current issues in the Japanese culture.
All these books that you've just mentioned are quite dense works, I suppose. And in your previous book, as well as this one, they both feature this very important theme of anarchist democracy. So from what you introduced just now, since war and the post-war Allied occupation of Japan was one of the common threads in some of Kurosawa's films, how do you interpret this theme through the lens of Kurosawa?
Yeah, the book shows that Kurosawa owes to the notion of the anarchist democracy. Yeah, there's a democracy and democracy. Yeah, Kurosawa clearly opposed the liberal democracy of American coinage and advocated what we call today grassroots democracy from below for the Japanese indigenous forms of democracy, which were rooted in the rural cooperativism and which were rooted in this tradition of the Japan's Russia, which we have shown in the our edited volume, Japan's Russia. And one very good example of such grassroots democracy is, of course, the group of the women in Ikiru, yeah, who advocate and try to put under pressure the local government, asking them to develop a playground for their children and to take care of the insanitary conditions which endanger their health and so on. But this group of women, it's a kind of a classical emblem of this type of democratic action from below, as Kurosawa was embracing.
Now, in the book, you detailed several works and the ways that they were intertwined with either Russian literature or ideology. And from the four Russian authors and intellectuals that you introduced early, can you give us an example?
Yeah, I would love to give an example. And actually, from my first chapter, No Regrets for Our Youth, yeah, is this film is not an adaptation of a Russian source, but it has a very important integration of a Russian allusion to Mussorgsky's piece, the Great Gate of Kiev, from the pictures from an exhibit. And I'm showing that reference to this piece of music and Kurosawa's engagement with this piece in the film is meaningful because it harks back to the period of 1874 when this piece was written, and which also happens to be the period of Japan's opening to the revolutionary Russia. The pictures from an exhibit were written in the same year when the Russian anarchist revolutionary Lev Mechnikov arrived in Japan and started the culture of the Russian translation of the revolutionary populist literature. The opening of Japan to revolutionary Russia was the beginning of the Japanese-Russian intellectual tradition of dissent in Japan, which has been thriving all the way into the 1930s and then was suppressed during the late during the Showa period. So Mussorgsky was of the same political persuasion as Lev Mechnikov. He was a democratic populist, and introducing his piece of music as a kind of leitmotif of the film in which Kurosawa embraces the new democratic restoration of Japan is very meaningful, yeah, because it's kind of a shows even like the title of the piece, the opening of the Great Gate of Kiev, yeah, it's as if he were literally reopening again this tradition of Russian Japanese democratic dissent to which he owes his democratic position, yeah. So this is a good example of how through this Russian allusion he gives a subtle signal of his political orientation in this post-war context.
Now, through Kurosawa's films, how would you characterize the intellectual and political connections between Japan and Russia, or even Soviet Union, during that particular background?
Yeah, as we know, the connections between the Russian and the Soviet state and in Japan have always been strained or openly hostile. Yeah, we had Russian Russo-Japanese War of 1904-5. We had the Second World War, the Cold War. So, but these hostilities were produced by the governments of two countries. Both countries lived for a long period of time under very oppressive regimes. And for this very reason, they also shared a strong transnational connection and affinity between the members of the dissent in both countries. One can put it succinctly, there have always been bad international relations between Russia and Japan, and good and cordial and productive forms of solidarity and collaborations among the dissenting intellectual and artists in both countries. And I can add that Japan's Russia is a kind of a shortcut for this Russian-Japanese intellectual tradition of intellectual dissent, and also the Russian Kurosawa as the single example of this tradition. They fall, of course, into the realm of transnational relations between people, between artists, which were, you know, channeled not through the state channels, and which deliberately were turning back on the state hostility and the unpolitics of alienation and enmity, but were based on solidarity, specifically on transnational solidarity and and circulation of ideas and collaborations produced by individuals who were suspicious of this type of politics their countries were leading.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time and for discussing this book with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Jenny.
Thank you. There are still a lot of contents in the book that we can cover in this interview. So for our listeners who are interested, please make sure to check out this new book, The Russian Kurosawa, Transnational Cinema, or The Art of Speaking Differently by Dr. Olga Solovieva. This is Jenny Lee from New Books in Japanese Studies. Stay tuned for our next episode.